Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and our God, we want to thank you for another opportunity to come into your presence. Lord, like I've always said, the reason we come is because we know that you are the only one who can bless us. Father, bless your people this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, cause your mighty hand to uphold everyone that is in this place this morning in Jesus' name. The words we are going to hear, we pray that these words will not be polluted in Jesus' name. Lord, let the life in these words be established in us in Jesus' name. Father, as we hear them, may we be quick to do them, O Lord. Let there be a manifest change in every life that will hear the words of this morning. And Lord, may we be able to live in faith and in the power of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, it's my prayer that God will hasten the footsteps of all the other members, and that we will know the importance of the Sunday school. We will know the importance of the Sunday school, because it's so important that we'll be able to have a session where we can do a kind of in-depth teaching on specific topics. In sermons, we are not able to go into details, you know, on some of these things. Plus, we do not have the opportunity to ask questions when the preacher is preaching. But then, when it comes to Sunday school, we have the opportunity to ask questions and to clarify things and even share our experiences. So it is so important that we come for Sunday school. And I pray that God will begin to lay it in the hearts of members of our church to come for Sunday school in Jesus' name. We've been looking at faith since last week. And we talked about understanding faith last week. We defined faith as a way of life. We talked about the fact that faith is the currency of heaven and is the basis for salvation and our continued sanctification. We say it's a uniting force, and that faith has power. When we exercise faith, there's a power that comes with it. Like any other aspect of our Christian life, our faith can be developed and grown. In fact, God expects that we grow in faith. That is why we have different levels of maturity. And the Bible says, ministers, flames of fire, going from glory to glory. So God does not expect us to be static. God does not expect us to be who we were 10 years ago in Him. He expects us to move from glory to glory. You will move from glory to glory in Jesus' name. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Although I've written verse 1 to 40 there, that's the whole of that chapter. We are not going to read verse 1 to 40. We will probably read verse 1 to 10. Let me check. Verse 1 to 10. That is where we are going to read this morning. Can somebody read for us verses 1 to 5 and someone else to read 6 to 10? Praise the Lord. Can someone else read 6 to 10? Praise the Lord. You will agree with me when you read the same Bible passage 100 times. Each of those times, God will show you something from there. I will just take 2 things from what we have just read. 2 things for this morning before we go into the bulletin. The first one is, I like what Adeniyi read in the definition of faith in that version. It says faith is the what? Is the confidence. Is the confidence that we will have what we are hoping for. So faith is a confidence. In other words, the faithful person is a confident person. Praise the Lord. The one who has faith is what? Is confident. He's not wavering. We are going to be confident people in Jesus' name. Secondly, he says Noah, by faith, was moved with fear to build an ark to save his family. So, if you are a faithful person who fear God, you can save your family. If you cannot save the whole world, you can save at least your family. We will save our families in Jesus' name. And the Bible also goes on to say that his act of faith did what? He condemned the world. Did you read that? He said his act of faith does what? Condemn the world. So if we will live righteous, it makes a distinction between us and other people. And therefore, by reason of our righteous living, they will have no excuse. It was not that Noah spoke words to condemn people, but the way he lived in obedience to God was what distinguished him. The Lord will distinguish you in Jesus' name. This morning, I want us to know that faith has a source. Faith has what? A source. you will know why the source of faith, I mean, why faith has a source and the source of faith. And that is because faith is in the character of God. Praise the Lord. Did you hear that? That faith is in what? Is in the character of God. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, if you start to read in creation, when God wanted to create, he said, let there be light. In fact, scholars, Bible scholars have said that what God actually said was, light be. So, he spoke light into existence. He spoke creation into existence without doubting. He didn't say, maybe, you know, light, you could appear when you feel like appearing. He just said, light be. And light came into existence. He spoke confidently and called into existence what was previously not in existence, as we read here. That the things that do appear were made out of things that were invincible. So it is in the character, faith is in the character of God himself. You know? So it has to be, if he's our father, it has to be that one of the things we inherit from him is also what? Faith. Because it's in the gene and the DNA of God, if there's anything like that. It's in the makeup of God. Therefore, we cannot but inherit that part of him. And so the Bible tells us that to every man has been dealt the measure of what? Of faith. To every man has been dealt. Every man. To every man. To every man. Because it's in the nature of God. So it simply passes on from us, from him to us. Do you know that we parents, we observe our children behaving just like us, or do things like us, or having same features as us, or carrying the way they carry themselves, or the way their attitude and things like that, and we are so surprised? Because to every of our children, we have dealt a measure of ourselves. To every man has been dealt a measure of faith. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 3. We'll try as much as possible to stay within time. Romans 12, 3. Can somebody quickly read? By the faith God has given you. I like King James Version, it actually says that to every man God has given a measure of faith. Sorry, it didn't say measure, sorry. I'm misquoting it. The measure of faith. The measure. Because that is very important. When I was reading it, he said God has given to every man the measure. In other words, there is the measure that God was giving to every man. There is the measure. There's the measure. So there's a specific measure of faith that God has given to everyone. The measure. It's not a measure of faith. Am I right? It says the measure of faith. Praise the Lord. And then go on. God can also give one a special gift of faith over and above the faith others can exercise. This type of faith gift, maybe for specific occasions or special assignment or a way of operation, as in the gift of prophecy. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, when you look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, look at it there. So faith, in addition to the measure of faith that has been given to every man, you can have that gift of faith. Go ahead. Can somebody read for me, please? praise the Lord, to another. You know, Paul was enumerating the gifts of the Spirit. And he's saying to us that God, the Spirit of God, can give gifts to people and give them faith as a gift over and above, you know, the kind of faith that most people will exercise. So we need, these are, that's why the Bible says we should covet these gifts. If there's anything we allow to covet, they are gifts, like the gift of faith. The faith that can move mountains. The God's own kind of faith. As in Mark 11, 23, 24. It can be our portion. And that will be your portion in Jesus' name. So, we now know the source of our faith. Now, faith can be grown or built up. Faith can be what? Grown or built up. I said, one of the most important ways to build our faith is to do what? To keep on hearing the word of God. Did I say to keep hearing? Did I say to hear the word of God? I said to keep on hearing. Keep on hearing. Because the Bible says, faith cometh by the word, by hearing the word. Praise the Lord. By hearing. So it's a continuous process. In other words, if you want to develop your faith, you don't only hear the word of God when things are rosy for you. You don't only hear the word of God when everything seems to line up with what you have just heard. You don't keep hearing the word of God only when you think by your calculation there is the possibility that that thing will come to pass. I will give us an example of somebody who, like the one who keeps hearing the word, kept doing it because the reason you want to hear is so that you can do it. I'll give you the example of Isaac. In the year that there was famine in the land, what did Isaac do? He sowed. That same year, Isaac sowed in the land. He did not say because there was famine that he will keep what he had to eat. He did what? He sowed. So whether we are happy, you know, a lot of Christians operate on feelings. When they are not happy, they say, I don't feel like. We don't have options, so you better know. We don't have what? Options. When you feel like and when you don't feel like, you have to keep hearing the word of God. That is how faith comes. Praise the Lord. And we must make, you have to make a deliberate and an active effort to seek out places where the word of God can be encountered or heard. It has to be, it should not be a happenstance. It should not be because, only when I have time. You, as part of the management of your time, you must create time to make sure that you are hearing the word of God. It should not be things that happen to you by accident. It must be deliberate things to study the word and to seek out places where you can hear the word of God. Look at Psalms 42 verse 1. Psalm 42 verse 1. Let's be quick. We have a lot to cover. Praise the Lord. Here it actually says, as the deer panted for the water brooks. In other words, the deer knows where the source of water is. When you are thirsty, what do you do? Do you fold your arms and sit down where you are? You go to the fridge. You reach for the tap. You go for, you know, wherever you can find drink. You quickly want to quench that thirst. That is the way we ought to be. That our soul should do what? Should pant for the word of God. We'll reach out for it. Look for the brook. Look for the river. Look for the spring where it is coming from and drink of it. And then you have to make the deliberate effort to leave the word hard. Some people will say, oh yeah, look, you know, you don't have to. You need to make that effort, because the Bible talks about working your salvation with fear and with trembling. You have to leave it. Then, testimony and a life of thanksgiving will build your faith, as well as confessing the word. In Mark 11:23, can somebody quickly read Mark 11:23? Please, let's be quick. Mark 11:23. We must speak the word out. It's not enough to bottle up the faith inside us. We need to speak the word of faith out also. Mm-hmm. 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 Okay. How many times will the word say? Mention. Three times. Jesus did not say, whoever wishes. Did he say, whoever wishes? Whoever said to the mountain. He said he will have whatever he says, if he does not doubt what he has said. Say. Confess it. Praise the Lord. Because when you confess it, results will come. And that will further encourage you and build your faith. And also make deliberate attempt to avoid faith-destroying situations. What did I say? Make deliberate effort to do what? To avoid faith-destroying situations. Can we go to Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2? Mm-hmm. 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 Praise the Lord. Let me just change the word there again. He said, the faith of the man will be built up who does not sit with sinners. You will know where people are congregating, and the work is the work of unrighteousness. I know people will say, don't judge. You know the truth in your heart. You'll be deceiving yourself if you say that you don't know. It said, for your faith to be built up, you need to avoid such places. Deliberately avoid them. So what you need to do is then is to congregate with true, I put the word true believers. This we know by their fruits. So also maintain a healthy prayer life with significant portions spent in praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude verse 20. He said, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So he's a faith builder. Faith is also contagious. I thought this deserves to be mentioned separately. Faith is what? Is contagious. It says faith is contagious. Try being around people of faith. When you live a faith-filled life, it will rub on people around you. Can we read Hebrews 13 verse 9? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So, don't follow strange ideas. You know, it comes from, your faith comes from the grace of God. It comes from the grace of God. So when you are around people who what proceed out of their heart is faith-filled, you are going to become faith-filled. Praise the Lord. There is a family. Every time I visit them, if we will have morning devotion in the morning like this, you will think we are in the church. I leave them pumped. The last time we went to Port Harcourt to be with them, what happened? In the morning like this, you think we're having a service. Faith is contagious. Unbelief is also what? Contagious. Quickly read Numbers 13, verse 31 to 33. And then someone else will read Numbers 14, verse 1 to 4. Yes, somebody to read 14, 1 to 4. Then the whole community did what? They began weeping. They fell into what? Unbelief. And do you know what, brethren? Unbelief is more contagious than faith. You know why? Unbelief requires that you don't do anything. And faith requires that you do what? That you step out and take the land. Unbelief meant that you just needed to stay where you are and mourn and cry and complain and murmur. Meanwhile, faith means what? Stepping out and do something actively. So that is why it is more contagious. And all the people, over how many millions, wept. Gone. Can you imagine? 60-year-old men, 70-year-old men, women, children, they did what? They cried all night long. Unbelief is what? Is contagious. Please run away from people who will live in unbelief. Recently, we went to a breakfast meeting with Andrew Forrest. I mean, there were a lot of people, so not just me and my wife. So don't think I've grown that important yet. Praise the Lord. So there were a lot of people there. And I have the CD, if anyone would want to listen to it. He came to give talk to Christians. He was talking about how Christians can develop businesses, you know, using the principle of the Holy Spirit, of the Bible. And one of the things he said is this. He said, if you want to develop a team, he was talking about what works in a team. He said, if you have cynics there, he said, the first thing you have to do is to remove the cynics. Because unbelief is what? Is contagious. When there is doubt that you cannot do this, you cannot do that, it's not possible, there is bound to be weeping, there is bound to be failure, there is bound to be lack of progress. I have the CD, anyone who wants to listen to it. I think it's about 3 or 4 weeks ago. So it's very, very important. And one of the things we are told, at least one of the principles I grew up with, is that if you want to succeed, you do what? You look at what people who have succeeded have done. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 15, verse 4, and read. Romans 15, verse 4. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago. Praise the Lord. So these things that are written in the Bible, another way to make sure that your faith is growing and contagious is look at the way the people in the Bible live their lives. The Bible tells us that all these things were written so that we can do what? We can emulate them. We can live like them. Praise the Lord. The other thing is this. Because unbelief is so contagious, publish good report and be not presumptuous. 2 Kings 5:3, John 1:46. Look at 2 Kings 5:3. Basically, the story there is the story of Naaman, the young girl who was a servant. What did she do? She published good report. She said, look, if only my master can go to Samaria, there is a prophet there. He will receive healing. He will receive healing for his leprosy because there is a prophet in Samaria. And what happened? The master went there. Let's publish good report. The power of God. What God can do. His abilities. His unfailing love. His mercies. His, you know. And when we hear the word of God, we must have the attitude just like the Thessalonians. And then go a bit above the Thessalonians and be like the Bereans. And receive the word of God with faith. Let's not, when we are going to hear the word of God, let not have a preconceived idea that, look, what is this person going to say? What is that person going to say? Let's receive every word of God until you find something there that does not tally. Praise the Lord. So when we come, we must come with a heart ready to receive. Because faith is what? It's contagious. When you speak the word and we open our hearts, you know, it will come in. And that will change our lives. Can somebody look at John chapter 1 verse 46, please? John 1 46. What does it say? It said, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. So, as soon as Nathanael heard that Jesus was from where? Was from Nazareth. What did he say? He said, can anything good come out of that? Please, that will not allow faith to flow into our hearts. Let's be open to the word of God, and God will bless you in Jesus' name. Do you know that faith can die? Do you know that faith can die? And it will be difficult to resuscitate it. Nobody is answering me. Do we agree that faith can die? Let's go. You cannot be static. You are either building your faith or you are allowing it to decay. The death of your faith can reach a point of no return. Let's quickly look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. To bring back to repentance those who were once enlightened, those who were once in the faith, if they should fall back. So, which means faith can do what? Can die. To revive. I even like that version. To revive. It will be difficult to revive them. Praise the Lord. They crucify him the second time. We will not crucify him the second time in Jesus' name. So faith can die. Your faith will not die in Jesus' name. One of the prayers I've always prayed, and I keep praying, is that God will not allow my testimony to be destroyed. It's very important till I die that my testimony will not be destroyed. When they say, he used to be this before, he's no longer that. He used to move. Instead of moving forward, he's moving backward. That will not be your testimony in Jesus' name. Faith can die. Unwholesome doctrine can also kill faith. We've already read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. We already read that. Unwholesome doctrine can do what? Can kill. If you go to the wrong place, if you go to the wrong church, if you go to places where they don't tell you to believe God anymore, and I'm telling you, there are places that you go, if you tell them that you and your husband have a quarrel, they will tell you, look, if it's no longer convenient for you, leave your husband. I'm talking about reality. I'm talking about life experience. I'm talking about things that are happening. They say, look, if he's that nasty, just leave him. There are places where faith, people's faith, are being killed daily. They develop your reasoning, but not your faith. So please be careful. And of course, I don't have to tell us that faith yields fruits. Because your faith can make you a friend of God like Abraham. Faith brings hidden things to view and will give you courage to face the future, uncertainty, or danger. Like we read, the definition of faith, New Living Translation says, is a confidence. When you have that confidence, you can face the future, you can face uncertainty or danger. You would not, when you live in faith, you wouldn't have poked your hands into things that you shouldn't just because it's a trying moment for you. You know, some children of God, when they face trials, when they are going through trying moments, they will have done things that they have already preached against. Go and read Galatians. Paul was talking about building again those things that he has already destroyed with his mouth, things that you have condemned. For example, as a pastor, I preach against fornication and then go back door and I start to tell somebody, please come and be my friend. You are building what you have already destroyed. That will not be your testimony in Jesus' name. We will face the future with confidence. We'll face life with confidence, with assurance, with faith in Jesus' name. Can we just rise up and pray? I know I've taken some time, but I just believe that these teachings, that we need to have them, we need to hear them. They are the teachings of the church. So important. Remember, we are talking about building faith this morning. And we talked about the fact that God is the source of faith because it is in the character of God. Can you just pray to God this morning that God will just build you up in faith, that God will build you up in faith today? From today on, he will build you up in faith. We can do more. Remember, one of the things we said last week is that faith is that thing that you enter into and you just want to go deeper and deeper and deeper in it because there is no finding out the extent of how far we can go in God. It's that thing that beckons you, that causes you to want to know more and more and more and more and more. That is the way of faith. Can you just pray to God this morning that God will just reveal himself to you more and more and more and more and more in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will become that woman, that man of faith, that child of faith who will lead his generation back to the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, every one of us who have had the word this morning, we are going to be built up in faith in Jesus' name. There will be no mere man or mere woman in this place. There will be people of faith who will shake the world around them, who will shake the community around them, who will shake their situation and their circumstances in faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.